Here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 27th of September, 2011. It was on this day, 1905, the German physics journal Annals of Physics published a paper by Albert Einstein, "Does the inertia of a body depend upon its energy content?" which produced the most famous equation in all of physics, E equals mc squared. It was one of four papers that Einstein published that year, a miraculous year for both Einstein and for physics. He was 26 years old. He'd published a paper in March of that year on the photoelectric effect, showing that light, which had been thought to always travel in continuous waves, can only be absorbed or emitted by an object in discrete packets. 2 months later came a paper on Brownian motion, how it is that small particles suspended in stationary liquid can still be seen to move continuously and in random fashion without any forces acting on them. In June came his paper on the special theory of relativity, and then on September 27th, in three short pages, Einstein made matter and energy equivalent when he derived equations that show if a body gives off energy, its mass diminishes by the ratio of that energy to the speed of light. And after that article came out, he went to his bed for 2 weeks, exhausted and with indescribable joy. And it was on this day in 1822, a brilliant young French scholar, Jean-François Champollion, announced to the French Academy that he had unlocked the key to translating ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. Using a block of stone that had been found by the French in Egypt some 20 years before, a stone covered with inscriptions, which we know as the Rosetta Stone, ancient Greek at the bottom, an unrecognizable script in the middle, and a band of hieroglyphs at the top. Here's a poem for today by William Matthews, entitled Promiscuous. Mixes easily, dictionaries used to say, a straight shot from the Latin. Chemists applied the term to matter's amiability. But the Random House Dictionary, 1980, gives as its prime meaning characterized by frequent and indiscriminate changes of one's sexual partners. Sounds like a long way to say slut, that glob of blame we once threw equally at men and women, all who slurred, slavered, slobbered, slumped, slept, or lapsed, slunk or relapsed, slackened, loose-lipped, sank ships, or slubbed or slovened. But soon a slut was female. A much-bedded male got called a ladies' man. He never slept with sluts. How sluts got to be sluts is thus a mystery, except the language knows what we may have forgot. Depression began its career in English in 1656, says the OED, and meant, science jargon, the opposite of elevation, a hole or a rut, perhaps, or later, the angular distance of a celestial object below the horizon, as Webster's Third, 1963, has it. There's ample record of our self-deceit. Language, that furious river, carries on its foamed and sinewed back all we thought we'd shucked off. Of course, it's all pell-mell, head over heels, snickers and grief, love notes and libel, fire and ice, in short, promiscuous. A poem entitled Promiscuous by William Matthews from Search Party, collected poems published by Houghton Mifflin and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight, nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Produced by our technical director, Thomas Schweitzer. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.